So we're coming from a message of abiding and dwelling. Remember, last week we talked about the psalm. And we come from a sort of a message of existence, right? From a question of, you know, rules to a question of being. And we will be working on this chapter of Matthew for the next few weeks. So I do encourage you to read and study it several times. You will have an opportunity to do that. It's a long chapter, but it's okay. You can read it 20 times in 4 weeks. That's fine. Right? Okay, I heard that. Yeah, right. That was the, yeah, right, Pastor. Yeah, you do it. I understand. But I do encourage you to go through it. First, I like to define some terms that are here included. The title of this section, as you mentioned, is called the Beatitudes. And that's how it's known in English, right? You remember that people all over the world read the Bible, right? And they read it in different languages. And I first heard this in Spanish. And in Spanish is Bienaventuranzas. Now, Beatitudes is very similar to that. And what Beatitudes implies is supreme blessings. It's not just a blessing, but supreme blessings. Right? And Bienaventuranzas has the connotation of good fortune. So, we have these titles. Now, this is not part of Scripture. It's just the titles that we put on these sections so that we can identify what it is. A blessing can be construed as a cause of well-being. Again, in Spanish, instead of blessed, which is translated bendecido, we use the word dichoso. That's where our title comes from. And in looking at its connotation, it translates to happiness. Some translations in English actually use that word. Happy are those, instead of blessed. It translates to happiness, and it's translated that way when, again, it's used in the connotation of a state of being. Now, happy is a state that can be also used in multiple contexts. So it has to be defined a little bit more specifically. So I went to the Greek. and you guys know Greek, right? So do I. Now, the Greek word is Makarios. Makarios. I'm pronouncing it in Spanish. but it's translated fortunate, enviable, or even satisfied. As in, all your needs will be met. Now, you are you hearing these words? Right? So happy can be different things, right? Happy can be joy. It can be satisfaction. It can even mean, man, that person is in a great place. So, what is it then to be blessed? Is it to be glad? Is it to be happy? Well, let's look at the conditions that are mentioned here by Jesus to his disciples. To me, I sort of separated them in there's at least two sets, and some of these are shared. But let's look at this. The poor in spirit, the ones who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, that's the first set, right? Now the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, the reviled and persecuted on Jesus' account. That's the second set. So there's some conditions here, right, that are exposed to us. And I have sort of divided them into. So the first set of conditions is what I would consider somewhat involuntary or at least unfortunate conditions. So what's Jesus doing here? Is he lifting the downtrodden, the ones that are in misery? If you think about it, being poor in spirit, right? Being poor in spirit is not a great thing. Now, who wants to be poor in spirit? Come on, lift your hand. It's okay. Right? So that's not necessarily something that we would consider as a good thing. If we are mourning, that's not a joyous occasion or a joyous experience. If we're hungry for righteousness, it means that we don't have enough. Right? Are you with me? And perhaps even if we consider the meek, you know, those are conditions that exhibit a lack or an absence of something. Now, how can someone who is lacking or has been denied opportunities or resources or justice or a loved one be happy or blessed? This is where we need to see things not with our eyes and in our context, but I would call this an heavenly and an eternal context. This is where we need to remove ourselves from the condition and try to see things with God's eyes. Which is what I believe that Jesus is doing. Jesus is trying to help the disciples to see things in a different light. Now, according to the conditions, as we said, you're lacking. But according to God's view, you are makarios. Again, which implies fortune and satisfaction. Fulfilled. You could actually say, this is all upside down. It doesn't make any sense, right? Because you are this way, but God says, no, you're not. Now, there's a parallel in a song that is popular in radio today. And it goes like this. When you see broken beyond repair, I see healing beyond belief. When you see too far gone, I see one step away from home. When you see nothing but damaged goods, I see something good in the making. I'm not satisfied yet. When you see wounded, I see mended. Right? When you see wounded, I see mended. I've heard this song forever, and I think it's one of those that encapsulates that idea that what we see and what we experience is not necessarily the same way that God looks at things. It's not necessarily the end of it all. And like you see, it's somewhat upside down. You see, God sees the alternate in our condition. He sees the hope in the hopelessness. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. You will be comforted. You'll inherit the earth. You'll be filled. See, that's sort of like a twist. It's sort of like saying, that's not it. It's a matter of learning, I guess. learning in our behalf, learning the process of how God does things, learning the way to hear God's words, words that are not meaningless, they are words of life that come from Christ the Lord. I mean, it's directly, right? Directly from God to us. And basically he's saying, I got your back. I got your back. Now, for people in the barrio, that means it'll be okay. I don't know about you, right? But if somebody tells me, I got your back, that means that he's with me. That he's going to accompany me in the situation and things will be okay. So this is the first set of conditions. Now let's look at the second one. What is to be merciful? Pure of heart. To be a peacemaker. To be meek. Or deserving of persecution for Jesus' sake. Are these qualities of discipleship? I mean, are we supposed to be these things? Does that mean that we are supposed also to be the other things, like the first said? You know, I sort of wondered about this situation because God is, again, teaching the disciples, right? Right? And if he's teaching the disciples, that means that there must be something here that is good for us. Right? Because we are disciples. So what does it mean? Does it mean that these things are the ones that we should aim for? You see, being dichoso, again, like I said before, includes being fortunate and satisfied. And a follower of Christ is not just sitting back and smelling the roses, right? It's not a matter of just, I got my ticket home. There's much more to it. To me, discipleship requires sort of an attitude, right? Sort of like a bend towards. You feel me? You hear what I'm saying? It means that there's a desire within for us to follow this man and follow these teachings. And not only follow them, but experience the life that comes when we live in those teachings. It's sort of like we're saying here, Emmanuel, right? God with us. So that means that when we live life, we are living life with God. Now, you know the famous verse in Micah. Now, remember, right? 6. I'm going to say, what verse? 6:8, right? You know that verse? Come on. No, you people, you've been reading the Bible like forever. Right? This should be like pouring out. He has told you, O mortal, what is good. Now you're going to remember. And what does the Lord require of you but to do? Justice, to love, kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Remember that now? Right, now Micah 6:8. Right? Now, whenever people refer to Micah, that's the only thing that usually comes to mind. Micah has nothing else to say in all the other verses and chapters. But this one we point to. And even if we know it, we may not like what it means. You see, because we may not like the implications of doing justice, love kindness, and walking humbly with your God. It might mean persecution. It might mean judgment. Now, anybody here like to be judged? Come on. Right? So again, it goes counter to our own desires. So, but this is what God has told his people. He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And here we are. Now, when we receive mercy, that's a different story, right? Because when we receive mercy, we're like, thank you, God. Right? When we're on the receiving end, then we are blessed. And we sort of rejoice. Imagine seeing God. Remember last week? We were talking about that. That Moses in his conversation with God says, I want to see you. And God tells him, uh-uh. You can't see me. I'm too holy. If you see me, you die, dummy. Right? But here, it's Christ saying, those who are in these conditions and suffering from this or experiencing this type of life will see God. Right? You know what that means? That means that we will be transformed in a way that we will be able to experience that and not be decimated. We're going to be called children of God. We're going to be counted with the prophets. You know what that happened with the prophets, right? They had things to say, and they paid the price for it. Jail, a lot of people not liking them, being thrown away from cities. And God calls this fortunate. Is that? I think, you see, this is the kind of stuff that we sometimes don't think about. And I think that that's the point here. When God labels this fortune, it's because maybe we just simply don't deserve it, but we're going to get it anyway. You follow what I'm saying? It's not that we're doing great things for God. It's that maybe we don't even get there. But we will receive the blessings. How do you think of yourself? Do you consider yourself merciful? Do you consider yourself a humble person? Do you consider yourself meek? Do you consider yourself a suffering like the prophets did? Do you see yourselves in that plane? I don't know about you, but I know I don't qualify. So imagine us, even in that place where we're poor in spirit, but still getting the blessing of God in our lives. We don't deserve it. Even if we are just, even if we do justice, you know what? We don't get to the level where we need to get, right? Even when we follow these instructions, do justice, you know, love, kindness, even when we walk up, we just don't get it. We are not perfect. But no matter how just or unjust we are, or kind of humble that we think of ourselves, God is still doing his thing. Because this is the thing that God has. He can see our heart. God can see through all of our experience and see what's deep within. Are you here? I read a headline this week. The headline said, "When sex doesn't sell anymore as activism does." Right. Now, you know where that comes from? Right? You remember when the times when all advertisement had to have either a guy or a girl, you know, skimpy dressed and, you know, whatever it was, whether it was beer or whatever, they had to advertise using bodies, right? Well, you know, the advertisement that is going on today is activism. This week, I don't know if you heard about it or you read about it, right? There was this rift between Uber, that taxi company, and Lyft, which is another one of those apps that are used on your phone in order to get a taxi ride. Well, when what's his thing, and there was all these people that were protesting about immigrants and all this stuff, and you know what Uber said? Oh, well, we're going to stop doing this. And Lyft, the other company, the competition, said, "Oh, we're for it." Right? Not only are we for it, but we're going to put money down. That pays for advertisement. You see? The supposedly socially consciousness of their actions are straight advertisement to us. So they're appealing to senses of justice just to manipulate the market. Imagine that. So I wonder what Micah would say about that. Is that really justice? Is that really loving kindness? Is that really walking humbly with your God? Again, we come to those words, blessed, blessed, makarios, dichoso, when we are downtrodden, or acting with the mind of God, for we will inherit the kingdom of God. I think that this is part of what discipleship implies, but we not always see. Faithfulness. Faithfulness in hearing God's words and saying, "I can live into this, even though I don't deserve it. Even though I don't have all the tools, I can live into this because God knows what the alternative is. He has the alternate vision for our lives." One more example. There's two big commandments, right? One of them is the most famous one, right? Matthew 28 says, "Go and preach the word and teach, baptize in my name," right? That's the big one. But he also inquires of his disciples about when did you feed me? When did you save me from jail? When did you visit me? When would you heal me, right? And he says, the disciples are saying, "Well, God, when did we do that?" Well, when you did it to these others, right? When you acted on behalf of these others, you did that for me. That's the other commandment, right? Which implies us to be active and participating in God's ways. blessed. Blessed. Dichoso. Fortunate. Satisfied. I will end with this. We sang this song. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. Right? I don't know about you. Have you experienced that? What is that like? If there's a sense of God's presence that is so evident that all your skin and your hair are like, right? Well, there's a sense of peace that goes beyond understanding. I believe those are the kinds of experiences that are given to us to say, I am with you. I am here. Maybe when we experience healing, that will happen. Maybe when we are in a place where two or three are gathered in His name, right? That will happen. Or maybe when we are out there with our hands, right, involved in other people's lives, showing them not what Christ has done with us, but what He can do with them. Maybe that's what it takes. But that is the Spirit of God that transforms a condition that we experience into a blessing. When you see nothing but damaged goods, I see something good in the making. I'm not finished yet. When you see wounded, I see mended. See, we sort of also see that in ourselves. I'm incomplete. I don't have it yet. I'm trapped. I don't understand it. And when God sees that, He sees the complete you. He sees the rearranged us. He sees the finished product. And praise God for that. Because I need that in my life. Don't you? Even when the Super Bowl is happening. Let's pray. Lord, we're grateful to You. When You declare these words, a blessing, even when we are in the deepest hard times that we may experience, You declare that we are fulfilled, that we are full, that we are happy, that we are complete. It's hard for us to understand those things. But I pray, God, that we may be able to see things with Your eyes. That we may learn, as the disciples were hearing these words and trying to interpret them and see how they were practical in their lives, that we may learn how is it that You see the world and how You see us. And of course, we pray, God, that we may keep Your purposes in mind, because You have done these things for us, so that we can be Your representatives, Your agents, agents in change, agents of life, agents of goodwill. We ask again for Your help, for us to be able to see these things, but we also ask that we may be able to practice these things. In Your name, in Jesus Christ's name, amen.